as it is in heaven. Give us this day daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, our Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, our Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Virgin, Saint Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at all times, and therefore our death. Amen. So, Rupa, do you have any announcements to begin with? If yes, please go ahead.
Nothing as such, Ashwin. We will be combining chapters 25 and 26 and doing it together in this class. That's all, Ashwin. And tomorrow, we won't be having our Bible class since we are doing two chapters today. In the end, I'll remind it once again. No other announcements as such, Ashwin. We can continue.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Sulsi. You are most welcome to start reading chapter 25, verses 1 through 5, please.
Yes, I can. Acts chapter 25. Now when Festus had come to the province, after 3 days, he went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief men of the Jews informed him against Paul, and they petitioned him, asking a favor against him, that he would summon him to Jerusalem, while they lay in ambush along the road to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself was going there shortly. Therefore, he said, let those who have authority among you go down with me and accuse this man to see if there is any fault in him.
Thank you. Just a second. let us start. Thank you for reading that. If you can chant, that would be even better. Chelsea, appreciate that. You know, according to the old custom, when a new governor is taking charge, he used to go and visit all important cities and important places of his province. And he meets with most important leaders of that area, and that was an old custom. I mean, today it is not that common though, but still, that was a custom in the old days. And in that line, Festus, he came to the capital of his own province, namely Caesarea or Caesarea, and after 3 days, he decided, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, because that was another important city. And at this time, the Jewish leaders took it as a great opportunity for them to go and meet with the new governor. And they decided to remind the new governor about Paul, because Paul was kind of a speck in their eye. And, you know, he has already been in prison for 2 years now. During the entire time of Felix, he was in prison, and then after 2 years, Festus is becoming the governor, and he is finding out that here is somebody who was left in prison by Felix, and he thought that this is a good opportunity to make inroads with the Jewish leaders. And at the same time, he was interested that he is wanting the Jewish leaders to accept his authority, and therefore he is asking the Jewish leaders to come to Caesarea for the trial of Paul. You know, I also want to add that Jewish leaders, they wanted to destroy the movement called Nazarism or Nazarianism. And therefore, what did they do? They wanted to kill Paul. They wanted to make sure that if they kill Paul, this whole entire movement is going to die. And they had no other choice or They knew no other way other than killing Paul. If you remember, there were 40 plus people who wanted to kill Paul some 2 years back, and similar people were available in Jerusalem even at that time. It was really, really hard, and eventually we are going to see that. The destruction of Jerusalem that happened in 70 AD, that was because of their attitude like this. And, you know, those 40 people, 40 men, they said that they will not eat anything, eat or drink anything until they kill Paul. We do not know whether they were still alive or not, but I assume that they might have broken their commitment or their pledge, and those people were still alive. And if Paul is being brought to Jerusalem, they thought that they could kill Paul while he is on the way to Jerusalem. That might have been their plan, and that might have been what they were kind of plotting within their minds. But that didn't happen either. So both ways, the trial had to take place in Caesarea, not in Jerusalem. Can you read, please, 25:6-12,
Tilsi? Yes, sir. Actually, I missed your suggestion before. What was the suggestion that you said?
Yeah, can you please, instead of reading, like you know what, I will, hold on a second. I will chant from 6 to 11, okay?
Okay.
So that you know how it is being done.
Okay.
And, you know, we do not actually, I mean, I said that in a previous class as well. So I thought you are already familiar with that. I'm sorry about that.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. It's not your fault. We do not read, when we say we read Bible, we do not read it like we read a book. Instead, we chant it. Like, in Pali, although Achan is reading the Holy Gospel, the Evangelion, but it is not reading regularly, reading like we read regular books, you know. It is a chant. That is how we should read the Holy Bible. We should not be reading this just like a book. That is what I was meaning with it. I will read the next section. Just listen, okay? Barakamur. And when he had remained among them more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, he commanded Paul to be brought. When he had come, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood about and laid many serious complaints against Paul, which they could not prove, while he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I offended in anything at all. But Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things? So Paul said, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you very well know. For if I am an offender or have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar. Barakmore. So, here, chapter 25, verse 6 to 12, we are reading more about the appeal of Paul to Caesar, in the Roman Caesar. Festus lived around 8 to 10 days with the Jews in Jerusalem. I mean, 8 to 10 days in Jerusalem, where Jews are the majority, and he came back to Caesarea. The next day, he called Paul to his judgment seat. And that is the time that Paul was given a chance to make his case against his accusers. And many number of Jews came to Festus again, just like it has happened during the time of Felix. Many number of important Jews came to argue against Paul. However, they were not able to prove anything. At the same time, we need to keep something else as well at this time. Those who were sitting in powerful positions, they try to be a little lenient sometimes, sometimes very much lenient, and sometimes totally blind towards the justice and towards the party who are just and righteous, and kind of, you know, disrupting justice. That kind of a thing is not new. It happened in the old days as well. And this is exactly what Paul is going through here. Festus is wanting to keep the Jews as friends so that there is no political turmoil happening in Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem was always a place where troubles and difficulties and political turmoil and tumults and mutinies, all those kind of things were happening. You know, at the beginning, the first time the Roman commander, the one who was over 1,000 soldiers, he saved Paul. And then that is the only instance in which Paul received justice. Next time, Felix didn't do justice to him. And this time, neither Festus is doing justice for Paul. This might have happened in AD 59, because like I said earlier, Paul was in prison in Caesarea for 2 years now. And the Roman emperor at that time was Nero. Nero assumed the empire in 54 AD. To begin with, Nero was not that cruel against Christians. However, he became really a cruel persecutor, and it was the time, it was just before the death of Nero that he killed Peter and Paul in 64 AD. But at that time, in 59, Nero was not that notorious and not very much cruel against Christians. And therefore, Paul is appealing to Nero, the emperor. And he is saying that the Jews cannot or could not prove their point against me because I have not done anything against them, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar. These are the three aspects that he is saying. Neither against the law, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I offended in anything at all. So, let's read 13 through 22. Paul and Agrippa, King Agrippa. Please, 13 through 22. Please concede.
Paracon, and after some days, King Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesarea to greet Festus. When there had been there many days, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying, "There is a certain man left a prisoner by Felix, about whom the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me when I was in Jerusalem, asking for a judgment against him. To them I answered, 'It is not the custom of the Romans to deliver any man to destruction before the accused meets the accusations face to face and has opportunity to answer for himself concerning the charge against him.' Therefore, when they had come together without any delay, the next day I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought in. When the accusers stood up, they brought no accusation against him of such things as they supposed, but had some questions against him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus who had died, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. and because I was uncertain of such questions, I asked whether he was willing to go to Jerusalem and there be judged concerning these matters. Barakmore.
Thank you. Just a second, I'm trying to find a verse in here that is very important. Here it is. Okay, thank you. Now here, Paul has appealed to Caesar, and Festus was very much clear about the fact that Paul has appealed to Caesar, and he must go now to Rome to prove his point. However, Festus had a big problem in front of him. Paul said, in which we've seen, neither have I sinned against, or neither have I transgressed anything against the temple, nor against the Jewish law or custom, nor against the Caesar or the Roman Empire. So what should be the charge against Paul? Festus was kind of really stuck. The Roman law does not find anything wrong with Paul. However, a group of people are dead against this man. They want him to be killed. The real tension here is the Roman ruler is trying to rule the land according to the Roman law, whereas the Jewish leaders, they wanted Paul to be tried and killed according to the Jewish law. The Roman law does not honor the Jewish law, and the Jewish people do not want the Roman law and the customs of the Roman law to be the foundation for judgment against Paul. And this is a huge tension that Festus is trying to hold. If the Jewish leaders are not kind of satisfied, they are going to start another tumult. And if they start a tumult, that is going to be looking bad upon Festus. So he is kind of between the devil and the deep sea. So he has intentions to keep the Jewish leaders kind of happy. And then at the same time, he doesn't want the Roman law to be manipulated either. And there, he is really stuck. And that time, two important people are coming to visit Festus. And these important people are the eldest brother of Drusilla, wife of Festus, and the sister of Drusilla, eldest sister of Drusilla, wife of Festus, namely Bernice. And you know, if you remember, King Herod the Great, he was the one who ordered to kill all children under two when the time Jesus was born. His son was King Agrippa Herod the First. And King Agrippa Herod the First, he was the king of Judea from 41 through 44 AD. And he died when Agrippa Herod II was 17 years old. In 44 AD, he was 17 years old. Now it is 59. He is about 32 years old. And the Romans, at the time that he was, his father died, Romans didn't give him the rulership of Jerusalem and Judea. He was given a small area, but he was an able ruler. So eventually he was given rulership over Judea as well. And another thing that we need to keep in mind, Herod, the family Herod, that dynasty had some Jewish relations. they were not completely Jews, but they had some Jewish connection in the family. Some of their mothers and some of their people were Jewish women. And so when your mother is Jewish, you have some Jewish, Jewish traditions in you. And Agrippa was kind of educated in Jewish traditions. We are coming to see that in the next verses. At this time, we have to keep in mind, the Roman emperor and the Roman government has honored King Agrippa Herod II, and therefore he wanted to be more respectful and he wanted to please the Roman emperor. And therefore, Agrippa II, he has renamed the Caesarea Philippi area where Peter, for instance, Peter confessed Jesus as God. You remember St. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, Peter confessing Jesus as God. That area was renamed by Herod Agrippa II. And this new place is called, new place was called Neronius. And he also tried his extreme best not to cause the war between the Romans and the Jews that ended in 70 AD. So he tried to keep that area calm. However, that would not happen. Bernice, she was around 2 years younger than Agrippa II, Agrippa Herod II, and she had very close contacts with the Roman, with the Roman leaders. She also tried her best to make sure that there is no war happening between Rome and Judea, which ended in early 70, a total destruction of Jerusalem. However, that would not happen either. And because she was kind of the mediator between Rome and Judea, the Jewish people didn't like that. What happened was that the Jewish people went ahead and destroyed the palace of Bernice in Jerusalem. Eventually, what has happened? She became the empress of Titus, successor of Nero. In 64 AD, Titus became the emperor. His empress was Bernice, sister of Agrippa, and elder sister of Drusilla, wife of Festus. And Titus, her husband, he came and he was the one who destroyed the Temple of Jerusalem. There is an arch. If you go to Rome, you will see that arch called the Arch of Titus. On the Arch of Titus, you can see a number of inscriptions in which it is inscribed how the Temple of Jerusalem was plundered. It is even inscribed like that the Ark of the Covenant is being taken away from the Temple of Jerusalem. Although the Ark of Covenant was already gone much before that, but it is all inscribed on the Arch of Titus. It's a huge arch. It's not small. It's big one. Yet that arch is called the Arch of Titus, which was made in honor of the plundering of Jerusalem, and Bernice was the empress of this emperor Titus. So let's read from 23 through 27.
So the next day, when Agrippa and Bernice had come with great pomp and entered the auditorium with the commanders and the prominent men of the city, at Festus' command, Paul was brought in. And Festus said, King Agrippa and all the men who are here present with us, you see this man about whom the whole assembly of the Jews petitioned me, both at Jerusalem and here, crying out that he was not fit to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing deserving of death and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I decided to send him. I have nothing certain to write to my Lord concerning him. Therefore, I have brought him out before you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that after the examination has taken place, I may have something to write. For it seems to me unreasonable to send a prisoner and not to specify the charges against him. Paramore.
Thank you. Look at this text. It is such a ridiculous thing. Like how Festus is finding himself helpless. I said earlier, he is now between the devil and the deep sea. He is not understanding what exactly the problem is. And therefore, he is seeking help and advice from the most prominent men of the city, Caesarea, as well as King Agrippa and Bernice, his sister Agrippa's sister Bernice. And they were all brought to the auditorium. And Festus is making a speech here again. King Agrippa and all men who are here present with you, with us, you see this man about whom the whole assembly of the Jews petitioned at Jerusalem as well as here, that he is to be killed. But what can I write against him? What shall I charge him? Because he has appealed to Rome, to Nero, but what can I charge against him? I do not have anything to charge against him other than verse 19, I'm going back, LME, other than some questions against him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus who had died, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. That is the problem here. There was a man who, his name was Jesus, who died, and Paul is saying that he is alive. Does it make sense to any of you? Somebody died, Paul is saying he is alive, and that is the reason why he needs to be killed, the Jews say. But I do not find anything meaningful there. So please listen to him and tell me what shall I write to the Roman Caesar that there is a charge against him. It is, the entire thing is kind of silly to Festus. So he is finding himself kind of helpless. And that is one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is Paul. He is again looking so helpless in front of everyone. Other than, politically seen, Paul is totally helpless here. He has no point to prove other than he is he is innocent. He didn't do anything wrong against anybody, neither to the temple, nor to the Jewish religion, nor to the Roman emperor, nor to the Roman empire. He didn't do anything wrong. That is his point. Festus knows that Paul is not worthy to be killed or punished, but he is wanting to please the Jewish leaders as well, in order to prevent a mutiny over there. So this is where this 27th chapter is ending. And this, this sad plight of Paul, the helplessness, and being in prison for no reason, we see this even today as well. A lot of people were getting their justice denied in this context, where the rulers are trying to please people in order to keep their authority alive and intact. This is the contradiction. This is the unfortunate contradiction that we see in here. Can we go to chapter 26, please?
Yes, Sachin. Under what verse?
In fact, actually, we can go the entire chapter, because that is the preacher, that is the speech of Paul. Please read up to 1 through 23.
Okay. Acts 26. or more. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews, especially because you are expert in all customs and cautions which have to do with the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was spent from the beginning among my own nation at Jerusalem, all the Jews know. They knew me from the first, if they were willing to testify that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived apostasy, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by my God to our fathers. To this promise, our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God night and day, hope to attain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of the Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O King, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the gods.' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, who you are persecuting.' But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you to open their eyes, in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, and they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance from those who are satisfied by me, by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God to this day, I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles." Baruch Mor.
Thank you. It was quite long, I know. But thank you. You read it beautifully. Here, Paul is now standing in front of the elite assembly. Agrippa is raising Agrippa is raising his hand towards Paul and saying, "You are permitted to speak at this time." And Paul is allowed to speak. And Paul is stretching his hand and answering for himself. Now, Paul is his own lawyer. Paul doesn't have a lawyer. In the last, in 24th chapter, we see how the Jewish people have brought a lawyer from Jerusalem to speak to Felix. Here, Paul doesn't have a lawyer. He himself is his own lawyer. And he is making his point. He is saying, and Paul is repeatedly saying, the legal aspects as well as his theological aspects, both alike. And Paul is saying, by greeting King Agrippa, today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all things of which I am accused by the Jews, especially because you are expert in all customs and questions which have to do with the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently. He is requesting patience. And then he is making the claim, not from the beginning of not from the very beginning of humanity, but from his own beginning. You know, Paul is making the story of his conversion three times in speeches. There are three accounts of the conversion of Paul. In chapter 9, we read it once. Chapter 22, verses 1 through 21, we read the conversion in Paul's own words. And this is the third time, 26. Paul is reading it Paul is making it known to us in his own words the second time. Luke is writing it the third time now. Now what happens is that he is now making it known to Agrippa, the king, like how he was, how he had been, how zealous he was in persecuting Christians for the sake of Jewish religion. He was more zealous than the ones who are now trying to kill him. Now, he is now being persecuted for something which he had been a persecutor once. And look at verse 8. Why should it be brought incredible by you that God raises the dead? And he is asking this question to Agrippa the king, who has some Jewish heritage. He knew things just like everyone else. I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. That is how he is starting. From 10 through 18, we read about the whole entire story of conversion of Paul. Again, and he is saying that how Jesus has appeared to him and how had Jesus talked to Paul. And verse 19 following. He is making a point to King Agrippa. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision which was made for me, exclusively for me. And I declare first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem about the one who has made a vision available to me so that I am convinced. And then to everyone throughout all the region of Judea, then to the Gentiles. First to the Jews, and then to the Gentiles. And the main important point of Paul's preaching is the same message, which started from the mouth of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, which carried on through the mouth of Jesus. Now it is the same thing that is carrying on through the mouth of Paul. And the same message carried on through the mouths of all the Orthodox priests and bishops and faithful. The same message, nothing different, that you should repent. And you should repent and confess Jesus Christ as God. And he's saying, for these reasons, the Jews seized me in temple and tried to kill me. What is exactly happening here? The same thing happened in the life of Jesus Christ too. And Paul is saying, and I obtained help from God. And that is the reason why I am standing even today, witnessing both to small and great, equally to small and great. And no other thing than those which the prophets and Moses said would come. That means the life of Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophecy of all Old Testament prophets. Nothing but what God has spoken. And these people are now speaking against what God has spoken through the mouths of prophets and godly people, that Christ would suffer. And there are six important points that Paul is making known to him, known to everybody. First of all, King Agrippa is aware of the Jewish customs. And therefore, Paul is expressing his thankfulness to King Agrippa. Secondly, he was a Pharisee and he belonged to the Pharisee family, and he was very much zealous in Jewish religion and customs. Number three, he was one among those who persecuted Christians. Number four, Jesus appeared to him at the doorstep of Damascus. And that is a great moment of conversion in his life. Number five, I am committed towards that vision. And number six, Paul is preaching the gospel on the basis of his conviction, namely the vision of Jesus Christ to him. This is all about this whole entire entire speech of Paul. And that is what it makes the whole assembly kind of quiet. We can go from 24 through 32, please. Hello?
Now as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of the truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. When he had said these things, the king stood up, as well as the governor and Bernice and those who sat with them. And when they had gone aside, they talked among themselves, saying, this man is doing nothing deserving of death or chains. Then Agrippa said to Festus, this man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. Baruch Mor.
Thank you. Here it is, this whole entire chapter is becoming more, I mean, it's making a big, big turn. It's more interesting now. Paul made his defense. At the end of which, like we said earlier, on one hand, Festus is not understanding exactly what is going on because he was not familiar with the Jewish custom. And he is making a statement. Maybe honest or maybe sarcastic. I cannot say which way I should go. I would love to say he is honest, but at the same time, equally my mind is making a voice within me saying that actually Festus is sarcastic too. Just like Jesus was ridiculed before his death, the soldiers making a crown of thorn and placing it upon Jesus' head, and he was given a red gown. All kinds of ridicule has happened against Jesus. Similarly, Paul is being ridiculed by Festus. He's saying, you are beside yourself. That means Paul's mind is not within himself. He's out of his mind. Namely, he's mad. much learning is driving you mad. People say that if you learn a lot, you become incoherent. You become mad. But Paul is answering Festus in a very clear voice, in a very clear sense. I am not mad, most noble Festus. Look again, Paul is not mad. He is not beside himself. He is honoring Festus as king, as governor. He knows that Festus is the governor. Most noble Festus. That is how Paul is responding to him. You know, this is something that makes me even amazed at the ability of Paul. Festus is making this statement because the reason why I am saying that he was ridiculing Paul is also because whether Paul was at fault or not, that is not what Festus is worried about at this time. Festus is thinking that this man is outside himself, and he has too much learning. But this man is now standing in front of you as somebody who has been accused of breaking law. You are now a judge. Are you judging him on the platform of justice? You all know the Roman law, where the goddess of justice has a balance in her hand and her eyes are blind. There is, a piece of cloth is tying down her eyes so that she is not seeing anything else externally. Internally, she is judging so that justice shall be done in the most proper way. The balance should be even. That is what the goddess of justice is now doing there, or should be doing there. Whereas Festus is not honoring the goddess, the Roman goddess of justice, to whom he should be committed to as a judge. That's why I think he was making fun of Paul. But at the same time, Paul is making another very important twist here. And that is that most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things. So Paul is answering in the same coin to some extent. You do not know anything. Don't speak things that you do not know. The king knows what I am talking about. I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention. Here is somebody who knows things. Let him talk. You do not know things, don't talk. And since this thing was not done in a corner, look at that statement. You know, Agrippa, in 44 AD, he was 17 years old. So, he was alive and well when Jesus was crucified. So he knew what has happened. And therefore, he is saying that King Agrippa knows everything, and death of Jesus has not been done in a corner. This was a proverb those days. If something is done in a corner, not too many people know about that. This has happened in the bright daylight and right in the midst of the city of Jerusalem. So everybody knew that Jesus was crucified. We also know in the Gospels it is written that the Jewish leaders were so eager to place God right in front of the tomb, and they themselves bribed the guards, saying that in the night his people came and stolen the body of Jesus while we were asleep. In fact, they were paid soldiers. They should not be sleeping. But they kind of argued against themselves. And that is exactly what Paul is now making a point to Festus, and he is making it known to everybody that King Agrippa knows everything. I know that you do believe. Agrippa, King Agrippa, do you believe in the prophets? Do you believe the prophets? I know you do believe. That statement made King Agrippa into kind of cornered. He is answering to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." Look at that statement. Paul's speech and Paul's oratory is such emphatic that King Agrippa is almost becoming a Christian. That is also kind of sarcasm in there. Are you making me a Christian now? We hear that sarcasm. And Paul said, Paul's response to that sarcasm is like, "I would to God and not only to you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains." He's bringing that fact in front of everybody that I am standing in chains. Why am I in chains? Can you explain it to me? I believe, and this is my conviction, that you all become Christian like me. Paul is saying repeatedly in his letters as well, may the Spirit of Christ be in you. May the icon of Christ be in you. And I want you all to be like me. That is a statement that Paul makes multiple occasions in his letters. I want you all to be like me. And at this time, the king is standing up there. Because there was nothing more to be said. The king is standing up and he is stretching his scepter to everyone. So everyone stand up, and governor and Bernice and those who sat with him, they all stood up. And they go inside. And they, like the jury in the United States, they are making a small gathering there. They are meeting together and they are deliberating among themselves, saying to each other, "This man is doing nothing deserving of death or chains." Look at the statement before in verse 29, "except for these chains." Bernice, such an influential lady, Agrippa the Second, Festus, all the important leaders and prominent men, they are deliberating and they are saying that this man is not worthy of these chains. And Paul is making his point there on one hand. And then Agrippa is making a statement to Festus. This man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. Well, that is also, many scholars look at this statement as if Paul is being made fun of by Agrippa, King Agrippa. Why should he do all these things? And he had not appealed to Caesar. This man could have been set free. Then why don't you write a letter to King to the Caesar saying this man has appealed to you, but he has not been found in having done anything wrong? He is not doing that either. That's why some scholars are saying that King Agrippa the Second, Agrippa Herod the Second, is making fun of Paul. So that ends chapter 26. So let me summarize what we discussed here. Festus is going to Jerusalem after his assuming the power, and there the Jewish leaders are complaining, are making their case against Paul once again. Festus is asking them, "Do you, if you want to to do a trial, you come to Caesarea, and then after some days, Festus comes back to his own place. There, he is listening to Paul, and Festus is asking Paul, do you want to go to Jerusalem? Paul is saying, I am appealing to Caesar. If I do not appeal to Caesar, I will be killed. That is how something that Paul was very clearly known. And Festus is in a big dilemma here between the devil and the deep sea. Shall I please the Jewish people or shall I please the Roman justice? And at this time, his wife's brother, his brother-in-law, the king of Judea, Agrippa Herod II, is coming to visit him, along with him his sister Bernice, and Festus's wife Drusilla. Drusilla's sister is Bernice, and Drusilla's eldest brother is King Agrippa. Now, Paul is standing in front of Agrippa, and Paul's speech to King Agrippa, he is making his point to the King Agrippa. Six things he is now making known to King Agrippa: that he belongs to a Jewish tradition, he belongs to a family that is traditionally Pharisees, he was the one, because of his zealousness, zealous nature, he used to persecute Christians. Now he has a vision of Jesus Christ, therefore he got converted, and he is committed to that vision and conviction, and therefore he is now preaching the gospel. These are the six things that Paul is preaching. Paul is speaking to King Agrippa, and Agrippa is now saying, in a ridiculing manner, are you trying to convert me to Christianity? Festus is making another act of ridicule to Paul. You are mad. But Paul is answering all these attempts to ridicule himself with dignity. But he is refuting himself too. At some point, Paul is making his point again to King Agrippa. And King Agrippa is making fun of Paul again. With that, this chapter ending. Now, anybody has a thought, any questions or comments, please?
Anybody has any question, please press star 5. I'll wait for a few seconds. Okay, it seems nobody has raised their hands. Thank you, Acha. Thank you for taking us through chapters 25 and 26 in Acts, Paul's appeal to Caesar and his defense. The key point in both chapters emphasized by Paul was the resurrection of our Lord. Achin specifically pointed out verse 19 of 25th chapter and verse 23 of chapter 26, which says about resurrection. Also, another keyword in chapter 26 is repentance, and Achin summarized Paul's long speech into 6 points. Thank you, Acha, for making it simple and easier for us to understand these chapters. It was a beautiful class. Thank you, Acha. Silsi Zakaria from St. George Church, Vancouver, read Psalms and Acts during this class. Silsi is a young, active lady who is involved in all activities of MMVS, Sunday School, and NGO system. She is currently working as the coordinator of a virtual summer camp for kids in her parish. We wish you all the best for coordinating the camp for kids, Silsi. Thank you for volunteering to read Bible today. Appreciate your help. Announcement. Tomorrow we will not be having Bible class. Since we combined the two chapters today, we will not be having class tomorrow. Next week on Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central Time, we will be having our Bible class. It will be the last class for this year. We will be combining 27 and 28. That's all for announcements from my side. Achan, do you want to add anything?
Yes. I want to thank Silky for wholeheartedly participating and chanting the Bible, both chapters. You know, she was asked to read these two chapters without much notice. I know that. Appreciate your kindness, and you did it beautifully. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Acha. Thank you so much for your suggestions.
Most welcome. And I'm so glad that nobody has a question at all, because you are learning everything so well. There's a little sarcasm there, right? Like Festus said, please, I encourage you all to ask questions. I really would love every one of you asking questions, because many people think that asking a question would make me exposed, or it is stupid to ask a question. Actually speaking, there are no stupid questions, only stupid answers. And the answer is coming from me, so it's okay that I be making those answers. You please ask questions. You can always ask questions. There will be always something to learn. Appreciate your kindness, all of you. God be with you. Last week, we thought about and we were kind of grieving. We are still grieving at the passing of Daniel, George, Achan. But at the same time, it was the festival, annual remembrance of Saint Paul last week. We kind of missed it. So let us sing the Kukulion of the Holy Saints. Let's remember Saint Paul and seek his intercession on behalf of us all, especially for the actions who passed. And let's conclude today's class. David. നീതിമാൻ പന പോലെ തളർത്തിടുമേ ഹാലേലുയ്യ വളരും അവൻ ലബനോൻ കാരകിൽ പോയി വൃദ്ധതയിലും അവർ തളിരിട്ടു തഴച്ചിടുമേ ഹാലേലുയ്യ വർദ്ധിക്കും അവർക്ക് തുഷ്ടി പുഷ്ടികളും വാരക്കുമോ ശുഭോലോലോകാദീശോ മനോലം വാദാമുൽ ഓലം ഉൽമീനമീൻ ഒരു പോലിങ്ങും മാർ പൗലു ശ്ലീഹാൻ നിന്റെ മേലും നിന്നോർമ ഉതകണമേ നിൻ പ്രാർത്ഥന നിൻ ഓർമ്മയെ ബഹുമാനിച്ചോർക്കായ് സൗമൻ കാലോസ് കുറിയേലായി സ്വോ പ്രാർത്ഥനയിൻ സമയമിതല്ലോ മാർ പൗലു ശ്ലീഹാൻ പതിവിൻ പടി നിൻ കൂട്ട തലയായി പ്രാർ ഇമ്പമെഴും നിൻ പാട്ടിൽ ശ്രദ്ധിച്ചിടും നിൻ ആടുകളെ മൂശേ പോൽ കൈവാഴ്ത്തേണമ്പറക്കുമോ നിന്നെ വരിച്ചൊരു താതെന്നും മോർ പൗലോ ശ്ലീഹ നിന്നോർമ്മയെ ബഹുമാനിച്ച സുതനും സ്തോത്രം നിന്നെ മുടി ചൂടിയിടുന്ന റൂഹാവം നിൻ നിൻ പ്രാർത്ഥന കൃപയേറ്റട്ടെ ഞങ്ങൾ എന്നും പുറിയോറാഹിമേലൈനു ആധാറേൻ പരിശുദ്ധന്മാരെ നിങ്ങൾ പ്രാർത്ഥിപ്പിൻ കർത്താവോടാ വടികളെയും തൻ കോപത്തിൻ വടികളെയും accept the prayers and the entreaties and have mercy upon us. Glory be to thee, O God. Glory be to thee, O Creator. Glory be to thee, O Christ. With us, pity upon your servants. Holy God, we pray for our respected Daniel George Achan, We pray for other priests who passed during these days. We pray for all of our Gautama Vanavasa Mahajan members. We pray especially for those who are working in hospitals in these most difficult times when coronavirus is so strenuously not willing to be coming under control, but is attacking a number of the children of God. Holy God, you be with every one of them. Bless them, keep them safe and their families, protect them, and bless each of those patients whom they are taking care of. Holy God, pardon us and forgive us our sins so that we be sanctified through your kindness. We pray for all those who have sought prayers from us. Pray for those who are going through bitterness and grief in their hearts. Praying for all those who are seeking forgiveness from you. Praying for those who are in need of blessings from you. Holy God, keep us and our beloved ones safe. Pray for church, diocese, Patirimeni, Bavadrimeni, and all the entire bishops and synod, all the archons, all the deacons, all the seminary students, all those who are in charge of different spiritual organizations. We bless them and keep them all safe. Pray especially for our children. Holy God, be kind to them. Protect them. In the intercession of Saint Mary, the Mother of God, Saint Peter and Saint Paul, the Apostles, Saint George the Martyr, Saint Gregorius, Saint Dionysius, and Saint Gregorius of Lombardy, from now on forever and ever. Amen. May the love of God the Father, grace of the Holy Spirit, communion dwelling in the Holy Spirit upon every one of us, especially those leaders of Martha Maria Vanita Samajam, PC Jorison and Rupa, and all the regional secretaries, unit secretaries, and unit office bearers, other office bearers of Martha Maria Vanita Samajam diocesan level, as well as every members of the Martha Maria Vanita Samajam from now on forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, everyone. Bye. Good night.